welcome to Rated NA 37, the podcast for nerdappropriate.com. Hi.
What's up, suckers?
Scott is gone. He's not here with us right now. Not dead, but he's just not here at this place at the moment. So we have Ryan's back.
Hey.
And really, we're doing this to see if Ryan and Ash can get along finally after so much hatred.
It's been 10 episodes since I said my line.
It got pretty heated on the comment thread.
Ash forbade Ryan from coming on of our podcast.
Yeah.
And we listened to him. We didn't let Ryan on.
Didn't.
Sure. We had Amy on instead. And then Derek. Literally everyone but you that we would usually have on. So, how you guys?
I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the reunion.
You guys can't hear it because you're listeners, but I'm podcasting from outside. I refused to be in the same room.
He's got a Britney Spears headset on, and he's like pacing outside.
They're Beats.
Yeah. Why did... They're just Sony headphones.
So how are you guys doing? What's been going on?
Ryan's doing great this morning.
You were up late, huh?
I was.
You went downtown, as they say.
Yeah, not as a metaphor. I literally went downtown. I haven't done that in a very long time.
I was going to say, it's been, you know, that's the people like dance there and drink beverages and converse with each other, right?
Yeah. We did that. It was good. I did a lot of that.
Did you DJ or did you just?
I did
just
not
there?
DJ.
You're just there.
Just there.
You're just there trolling for some. Trolling for some trolls.
For some trim. I was trolling for some trim.
I was going to say Tang, so.
That's good.
I think both are equally as outdated.
I said troll, so I'm in the clear.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Oh, what about you, Matthias? What have you been doing?
I got a TV.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm in the world of high def now.
That's right.
Yay. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, high five.
Yes. I'll do it as well.
I can read text in games now.
Yeah, it was pretty hard for like, there were times when we'd be talking about graphics and you'd be like, I can't see it because it's all blurry, and I'd just be kind of like, but it's so pretty. And didn't want to say, like, you know.
Have you been dying to know what's going on in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? Take two. Cut. No. Let's give this one a clean take.
I'm not cutting that out.
Cut.
I don't even know what you just said.
And action.
I don't even understand the joke.
Have you been dying to know what's going on in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon? No.
That's a good one. Not even trying to be mean.
I have actually
been playing a lot of Deus Ex that I can read it. I got to the boss fight and texted you about it. I died like 9 times from one shot.
Oh yeah,
it's ridiculous, dude. Like basically you can't take hits anyways. Like even normal guys kill you in like 3-4 bullets, which is fine. I guess they're going for some kind of weird realism in a world where you can amp your body up with metal and whatever. I don't know. So I get to the boss and I'm like, all right, cool. You know, there's plenty of hiding areas. Maybe I guess I'm supposed to hide and run around. And then like every time I was like, I hid and then I'd die. And then I was like, all right. So then I'm like, ooh, I have an EMP grenade. I'll throw that.
Yeah.
And that'll fuck him up all over the place. And then I'll shoot him in the face.
Yeah.
So I did that. And then all that does is he's like, oh, fuck this. And just starts tossing grenades like left and right. I couldn't even hide at that point. I just was dying over and over again.
Yeah, we were not kidding when we said those boss fights are insanely hard.
But I'm loving the game. The game's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm buying TV in high def for no reason. Like anything awesome that I can watch in high def, I just get in high def
and
now.
You're like, oh, this is so nice. Yeah.
And you can see things.
Yeah, that's what kind of, when I first got my TV, it prompted me to run out and get a PlayStation because I just wanted to see what Blu-ray kind of looked like.
That's on the list, but due to other circumstances, I'm waiting on the bigger, because this is a smaller TV. It's only a 32. It's not like a giant TV or anything.
I'm sure that the 70-inch TV will come in the near future.
Someday.
Yes.
So how about you?
I haven't really been doing anything this week. A lot of work. Super busy, but I did get a chance to, I beat Deus Ex, I think, last Saturday morning, and then I picked up Space Marine, played through Space Marine, did a lot of Space Marine multiplayer, so I have a lot to talk about with that. In terms of games, that's pretty much it, but it's been
awesome.
It's a lot of fun, so.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about, Ryan, other than going out last night?
What
have you been doing for the past 4 months? When is the last
really
time you were
question.
You were on 25, right?
Yeah. I haven't done much nerdy. I've been playing a lot of the new Madden.
Yeah.
I finally beat...
That's nerdy in its own...
I finally beat L.A. Noire. I sat down and I was like, I'm going to beat...
Ash said he's never going to beat the game.
No.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. He said he's never turning it back on.
That's very good. But yeah, since then, I made the mistake of buying the new Madden. So I've been doing that.
Fun though? Is it good?
It's good. I mean, it's Madden.
Did you guys have the one right before it?
I had 11.
Do you cosplay when you play Madden? Do you like put a jersey on and like...
No, but I do use the Eagles, and I hold my dog in a bathtub full of water.
Michael Vick joke.
Ooh.
Are those timely?
Very timely.
Hello?
Seriously, though, is there much difference? Because 11, they added a bunch of stuff. Did they add anything to 12?
See, I thought 11, they actually did a good job at stripping it back down.
But they added the kind of arcade mode. They added the field down.
I just do straight up exhibition play, with my roommate. But the previous one that I had was 08.
You don't do season stuff at all?
Not really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the least nerdy. What you like? You just basically Mortal Kombat essentially.
I play with actual other people. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The previous one that I had was 08, and that was where they had overboard with QB vision and power ups on everybody.
It was like hard to do.
11 did a very good job of stripping that all out. 12, is this an open forum to talk about it?
I mean, for 15 minutes, but
a tiny little review. 12 feels like you have a great deal more player control. And I've read this in many interviews, and I probably wouldn't be able to articulate it without seeing what they were talking about. But it feels like they scaled back the number of predetermined animations that will, if you're close to a guy and there's a chance you could tackle him or not tackle him, it feels like in the older games it would just suck you in.
Yeah, yeah.
Vacuuming, I believe, is the term that's I've read, but it would suck you in and just do the predetermined animation, but. From the quarterback and from the defense standpoint in the new game, like it feels like you have a ton of control. Like you hike the ball and you've got it and you run. Graphics are a little better. They're still classic EA. The voiceovers are terrible.
Yeah.
And they get things wrong all the time.
Yeah.
The South Park episode with EA just...
I didn't see it.
That was great. They go in and they're complaining to the boss of EA about not paying college players or whatever. But
I didn't see that one.
It sums it up beautifully. At the very end of that scene, the executive from EA goes, "We have a saying here at EA: get the fuck out of my building." out. And it's just like, while we're playing the game, like there will be so many blatant errors where they call the wrong guy or celebrate the wrong play or whatever. And it's just like, we're EA. Somebody else make an NFL game. No, you can't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun.
Cool.
If you like that, then it's fun.
All right. Well, today we've got some Sony Vita news, some Dragon Age news, Hulu and Netflix, all... to be talked about, and then we're going to review the new Kevin Smith movie, Red State. You've got the premiere of Clone Wars season 4. I'm so far behind on that show now, but season 4. I've got my comic picks from the 52 and actually a couple outside of the 52 this week, and then you two saw The Ringer for reasons I know and don't know. And then we had a Twitter question about where you would live in the gaming or movie world.
Yes. I only watched The Ringer because I thought it was the Johnny Knoxville movie.
No, it's too bad. It's too bad. So let's get in it. The news. Sony Vita, not out yet, right?
Not yet. Not for a while.
I'm in the industry. but Sony did release news this week about battery life. And they are saying if you turn everything off on the game, on the system,
oh, man.
You get 3 to 5 hours of gameplay. And you'll get 9 hours of music and 5 hours of movie watching. And that's with like brightness down, all of your no Wi-Fi, no 3G, Bluetooth turned off.
The game, basically not playing the game.
Basically, as long as you're only playing the game and not doing anything else, you get 3 to 5 hours of gameplay.
All right. So how do you guys feel, to open up the question here, do you feel as though handheld gaming is sort of dead and we're basically just using our phones now?
I think, yes, in a way, but I would also argue that the only thing that a Vita or a 3DS offers that my phone completely doesn't yet is some kind of control feature that doesn't feel like shit, because I hate controlling things on my phone.
Absolutely.
And I've tried it on the iPad too, which is probably the best tablet experience. And even that, I was like, ugh, It's just not, it doesn't feel right, you know?
Not having tactile feedback, like yeah. the on-screen controls just... like
So games that kind of work around that, games that innovate on that idea and like basically use that as a feature of like, oh, well, you rotate, you do this or that to control, feel awesome, but there's just not a lot of them that are done really well. Yeah. So
I think the Vita is going to be a beautiful system. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be fun to play. It's going to be great to look at.
Yeah, but
it's going to be expensive as hell. And I think the actual function of it is, you know, something that we don't need. We don't need a super HD handheld right. system that's worth like $300 that you're not even be able to put in your right. pocket because of all, you know.
So Joystick released an article shortly after the battery thing came out where they basically added up all of the accessories that you have to buy to make this thing like full on like workable.
Yeah.
And one of the points they made, which I didn't even know, this is ridiculous. It's got some kind of like proprietary memory. I don't think they're memory sticks. It's something else.
Oh, really? Typical Sony.
It's
Sony,
yeah, it's right? typical Sony like proprietary memory thing. And basically the projected price for Japan equates to America somewhere between $25 for like 4 gigs to $130 for 32. And they were like, to compare, they're like a 32 gig SD card is like $30, $40. They're like, this is three times the cost for a 32 gig
just
stick
because
of memory.
It's a, well, it's a piece of
and then there hardware. Were other things, I think like a battery extender and something else and a case. They're like, at the end of the day, this $250 machine is going to cost you somewhere in the range because it's only got 200 megs of onboard memory, too.
Which is nothing,
Which is zero.
32 megs?
No, 200 megs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But still
200
nothing.
Megs.
That's like, is that half a game? I mean, are you going to be able to hold anything?
I think my TI-85
that's just,
has.
That to me is just basically blind arrogance. Like you could put a 10 gig hard drive in that thing. It would take up zero space. I mean, it would be like, you know, an ounce.
This is where I feel like Sony used to be, you know, you bought it because of the name.
Yeah.
Sony was on there, so you knew it was quality, which I think still somewhat holds true for most of their electronics. They do put out good products. The problem is they've got makers like Samsung coming in, making gorgeous things in the electronics field and then undercutting them on price.
Yeah.
And making good products, you know, too. So I don't know. I'm watching this and I'm like, I just feel like it's like that outdated like dinosaur going like, we can charge $400 because we're Sony. And everybody's like, yeah, but I have my phone that costs half that. And,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And, I mean,
lasts all day.
There's also the argument about their big push for the system is like using the cloud to jump between the PS3 mm-hmm. and the Vita. So you'll be able to save a game and then basically like continue playing on your PS3 when you get home. So you could like take a game with you, bring it back, play it back on your big TV. But it's like,
is this going to include some of Steam too, or no? Is that just Steam to PS3, and then this is going to be like separate?
I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea. But I mean, how many of you guys would actually use that feature where you're?
I don't know
what I was just
going to
say.
If you had a PS3, would you take your handheld with you, play it someplace, save your game, go home and play it at home? Or
is this still a very Japanese company? I mean, is this like we've talked before about Japanese and mobile gaming are much different than the American market in mobile gaming?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, their biggest market's mobile. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I would use it. I mean, even if I just feel like, okay, for me, I had a PSP and I played the heck out of it. I liked it.
Yeah.
And I just feel as though, games have gotten so good on, you know, nice televisions in mm-hmm. HD,
mm-hmm.
you know, you sit in your couch, you relax, you play a game. Who wants to play a game on a four inch screen if that's even 4 inches, you know what I mean?
I think it is.
There's a limited market for that, you know? Like, of course we're older now, so we have TVs and
that's
whatnot.
Sure.
So that
sure.
you know, as a little kid you could probably
but as
be
I
stoked
mean,
about it, but as a 300
but at the same I was gonna say at the same time I'm getting to the range where, you know, I might be a parent someday and like I'm not gonna buy a $300 electronic device for my kid. Like, that's insane.
No, I'd rather tell him that Santa Claus isn't real. Break the news. You're not getting. You're not.
You know,
getting
but you know what I mean. Like, I would rather go get. I would go get a cheap phone, like that I knew he could play games on, and be like, here's your mobile gaming platform. Yeah. It cost me significantly less.
Give him your old black and white Game Boy that had like 30 hours of battery.
You know,
the Japan thing definitely factors in because, you know, I listened to the podcast earlier where you guys were talking about how they're much more about mobile gaming, but it feels like the Vita and the 3DS. I feel like I could be completely wrong, but in the States, that this could be the last push of like new,
yeah,
it's possible.
New handheld
it's kind
devices.
Of possible, yeah.
I mean, 3DS isn't selling very well.
And, but, and like I don't handheld game at all, but like some of the things I keep reading are the, you know, the cutting prices, adding,
yeah,
you know,
3DS just dropped their price to $150,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So
I know just one more quick thing about the 3DS. Another podcast I was listening to said that Capcom's about
to
launch.
Do you listen to other podcasts?
I do. No, sorry. Sorry, guys. But Capcom's actually adding a peripheral for the 3DS that adds another analog stick. And there's some speculation as to whether or not this is like basically already a 3DS redesign with a second analog stick. It's going to be coming down the road.
Didn't Nintendo put that out? The second
know.
Analog stick? I'm pretty sure that's a Nintendo thing they put it out. Yeah, and the shitty thing about it is it straps on around the right side. It gives you a second analog stick on the right, but it still requires its own battery. I remember there was a bunch of buzz that this thing was going to have. Like, everybody was excited about, like,
it's
going to
be... battery, probably?
Yeah, that's what the rumor was, but it requires its own AAA battery.
That's ridiculous.
For the extra analog stick on the right.
It's so ridiculous.
So you got to make sure your 3DS is charged and you have AAA
batteries.
It's like
a fucking cyborg. It's like all fucking bolted together.
So was it at TGS? Where was this announced? The Dragon Age?
Was announced, shoot, I don't know. It was just announced day before yesterday. So I think it might have been Tokyo Game Show, but
yeah,
I'm
TGS.
Not 100% positive.
So in gaming news, more gaming news, Dragon Age 2 announced DLC that you got blindsided by, I saw.
I did, yeah. I talked with these guys at PAX, and they didn't really hint to this at all, and I was kind of trying to grill them for information, so they were really good at keeping their mouths shut. But there's a new DLC that just got announced day before yesterday called for Dragon Age 2 called Mark of the Assassin. And the kind of the unique thing about this DLC is Felicia Day actually appears in the game, not as Felicia Day, but as her character Talis from the upcoming web series Dragon Age Redemption.
Right.
So
has that had a date announced yet? That thing got announced like a year ago.
Yeah, it's the same day actually as this DLC.
Okay,
so
they're
October
putting it all out at the same time.
The 11th, I believe. Is
that? Because it was weird. They announced that web series so long ago,
yeah,
before Dragon Age 2 got put out. Right.
It might have been right around
it.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to come out to push Dragon Age 2, and then it just like. Nothing came out, and I was like, what are...
Yeah,
I mean, this makes
it
a lot more sense that they pushed pushing DLC.
Same day as Redemption, Mark the Assassin comes out, and they had BioWare had a BioWare TV chat with the producers and stuff yesterday and revealed some stuff about it.
Awesome.
Pretty much, you're going to be able to play as the character of Talis, who's Felicia Day's character, and she'll have her own unique moveset and her own abilities that don't appear anywhere else in the game. And it's supposed to be a nice 5-hour chunk of story that you can play anytime in your Dragon Age 2 playthrough. And then you'll be able to get weapons and items and carry them back into the main game. So it looks like a lot of fun. The graphics look really cool. We did a quick little write-up on the site, so definitely check it out if you are curious about Dragon Age 2 Mark of the Assassin DLC.
Felicia Day, that name sounds familiar. Have you guys talked about her before?
Yes. She has red hairs. She's often considered to be the queen of the internet.
Yes, because of the guild.
Yes, because of the guild.
I didn't get a chance to vote on that.
I know,
well,
right?
We don't vote for queens.
That's
that
true.
Would probably be why you didn't
That's
get
true.
A chance to vote on it.
Yes.
Now, if she was the president of the internet,
right,
you would have voted on
that. That would
probably.
Definitely be a cat.
But this is...
A cat would be.
Yeah, oh, yeah, cat would
keyboard
be.
Cat would be the president.
I don't know about keyboard cat. I like business cat. I'm getting
business
into the business cat.
I don't
business
think
cat
I've seen business
serious.
Cat.
Business cat's pretty businesslike.
I think the president of the internet would be porn.
No, I feel like that's
by raw votes alone.
That's the president's brother. That's the
oh, I was gonna actually say that's like the president's mistress.
Ah, yes.
Cat gifts are the president itself.
True.
I'm thinking new segment of your show, Meme Corner. And I could just sit here and describe to you the animated gifts.
Say, such a good audio podcast.
The animated gifts. I could just describe.
This one is a cat who falls in a box.
All right. So this cat falls asleep sitting up.
And he's
it
fat.
Is hilarious.
So speaking of the internet, transitions. Hulu's been on the auction block for a while now, trying to get sold. Its owners don't want it anymore. It's been a long kind of process. This is a lot longer than you would think. This actually got announced probably about 6 months ago, maybe. The first big contender was Google, And then Microsoft entered the picture. And then Yahoo entered the picture. And then Amazon entered the picture. And then DirecTV entered the picture. So, like, pretty much all of your major kind of internet or content players have put in some form of bid or gone to look into it. I think Google actually got to the point where they were going into financials and looking over it to see if they were going to purchase it.
Microsoft won't be interested until Apple creates a competing service. Then Microsoft will jump in the game four years later.
I mean, I think Google or Amazon would be good. I think those could be good partners for Hulu because I could see them kind of throwing some money around to get some content and make that service a little better. But basically what has happened since then is that Hulu's content deals have been kind of in flux. And because of them being in flux, the actual valuation of the company has gone all over the place and that none of the bids are now hitting where they want. And now they're thinking this may not go through at all and Hulu may just stay Hulu.
I don't get it at all. Like, this kind of leads into what you're talking about next. Spoiler alert. But, like, Hulu and Netflix, I don't get why media providers don't see that as a profitable thing. Like, I don't care. Charge me a little bit more. Show me some commercials. Yeah. I don't get it. Like,
well, Google's been in such a buying mood lately. I'm kind of shocked. And they're actually thinking there's going to be another round of bids next week. And basically Hulu has said, look, if you guys can't get your bids at X amount of dollars, we're out of here. So the next round of bids they're thinking might solve this, but Google's expected to be one of the biggest.
I think the guys making the decisions, the suits, the old media, I'm doing air quotes for the listener. I think they don't get the online.
Well, Hulu is owned by NBC and Fox.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't get why Hulu and Netflix aren't enormous and, you know, content isn't just pumped out there.
Well, Ash, you still have cable.
Yes, I do.
Did you get Hulu Plus or did you just do the 1 month free?
I have the 1 month free right now, but
are you enjoying it? I mean, does it even make you think like, I don't know if I need cable as much?
I don't use Hulu as much as Netflix. I don't feel as though there are as many shows as I would like to see on there. And since I do have cable and I still do have an HD DVR, I'm kind of a la carting the things that I want from cable right now. And since all the shows are still sort of on hiatus until this week, it's been just like, you know, I will say
last year when Hulu Plus came about and it was fall TV still and I bought into it right away. I didn't have cable anymore, so I bought into it. There was like a weird glory period where Hulu was getting everything day of, everything that I wanted to see day of. They were even getting some things ahead of release, like 30 Rock got played on Hulu before it premiered on TV. So it was like this weird golden age of Hulu for 1 year that I thought worked well. I guess they just didn't have the numbers.
That was before devices, wasn't it?
The premiere of 30 Rock was before devices, but then the devices came out during Roku had Hulu Plus almost instantly. And that was during fall TV. Well, yeah, that was during fall TV. So I don't know. I mean, I would like to see them get I would hope they don't go away. I don't think they're in the process of going away, but I hope they find a good partner to go along with this.
I have a bad feeling that might happen, that Netflix and Hulu might just kind of flicker out. Like, just a bad gut feeling that before the potential is actually realized that we could see the demise of, like, online a la carte media.
Well, I mean, they're up against big budgets, so we'll see.
Like, honestly, I could say, like, if I had cable right now and I had cable and Hulu and Netflix, I don't know if I weren't forced into a situation where I didn't have cable that I would be like, oh, I'm cutting the cord. You know, like I moved to a place that didn't have cable and I picked up Hulu and Netflix.
We did for budget reasons originally, and then it just worked out. I was like, this makes sense. I don't miss it. And now that I have, weirdly, I get the antenna works a lot better with my new TV. So I get all the channels without having to like play with the fucking antenna or something. I get them all without issue. So, you know, when I want to watch football or something, it's on. I can watch it. It's not that big of a deal. But so that leads to Netflix this week announced to their shareholders that they're shedding about 1 million users from what they originally planned. Now, the interesting thing is that they had said, oh, we're going to have about 22 million users, or we're going to have about 37 million users this year or something like that. And then the announcement came out and they said, it's not 37, it's more like 36. But the split of where they're saying that they're shedding users is where everybody said they were going to shed them, which is DVD. So they went from 15 million DVD users to 14.2 and from 22 million streaming to 21.8.
I was going to say, like, because I read this headline and you know, like I do. I didn't read the actual article, but is this? No.
Yeah, too long. Didn't read.
Nope. How many people did they actually lose, and how many just switched plans?
Well, this is not actual numbers of loss yet. This is expected loss in numbers.
Okay. These aren't real numbers.
So when this happened, when they came out and made this announcement that, hey, we're going to be more conservative on our numbers, the stock immediately tanked about 20%. I think it went from something like 220 a share to 160 a share. Which still, like I said, 160 a share is nothing to be laughing about. I mean, it's still a lot of money for your stock, but but it is a significant shed in stock prices. So, I mean, are we seeing, is this, I kind of feel like less, like, I don't think they're going to flicker out. I think there is a lot of money behind these companies still. I have a feeling that this is the struggle now that they're butting heads with big media because they've become real players. Before
it's going to be content provider. It's going to be based on the content. But if they can overpower the content providers and get good new content.
It was easy before for Netflix to be like, yeah, why don't you just give us your old shows? Yeah. You know, who cares? Yeah, yeah. Give us your old shows. And TVs were like,
same thing with Hulu. It's just
sure,
like,
whatever. Here's some money. And then all of a sudden they're like, 37 million people are watching this, and they're going, Whoa, we're still paying you for the 10 million users you had, not the 37 million users you have. Or you were paying us for 10 million, not 37.
It was like an afterthought, and then suddenly it caught on, and now it's like, oh, there's a lot of eyeballs on this. Let's make some money.
And I have a feeling that if Netflix, see, like you were saying, you hope they don't flicker out. I don't think people realize how much they use Netflix. And I think if Netflix were to flicker out and go away, all of a sudden people would be like, whoa, where's all of my streaming that I was doing? You know, I mean, like, a lot of people use that service. And we made the point yesterday, Melissa had to get this movie for class, I Am Sam, right?
Funniest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
just one of the greatest,
funny.
One of the greatest comedies of our time.
But it's old enough, it's in that weird period where it's old enough that it's not really available anywhere. And it's not new enough that it's there, but it's not super old, so it's not like super in the cheap piles just sitting around. It's like in that weird period of oldness where it's just hard to find.
Yeah, yeah.
So she didn't, you know, we didn't get the Netflix DVD in time, so we had to get it for this weekend. So I go out last night. I'm like, well, I'll try to find it somewhere. Of course, like, Redbox doesn't have it, because that'd be a weird title for Redbox.
Did you look in the comedy section?
I went to Best Buy. Best Buy didn't have it. I went to Target. Target didn't have it. Walmart didn't have it. I ended up at Barnes & Noble, and they had one copy of I Am Sam sitting at Barnes & Noble. And I was like, Melissa even made the point before I left. She was like, well, can we just rent it from somewhere? And I was like, where?
Where, yeah.
Where are we going to rent it from? Like, this service is gone. Yeah. And if Netflix were to disappear, we would have no access to DVDs anymore, movies in general, Amazon or, you know.
Yeah. We were talking about some stuff about Afghanistan in my class, and I was telling my students about Restrepo, and a handful of them had seen Restrepo.
Oh, that's awesome. Really?
And I was telling if you go watch Restrepo, you know, I'll give you some extra credit points, and you don't have to write anything. Just come talk to me about it, and I'll give you some points. And they're like, well, how do we see it? I'm like, well, it's on Netflix Instant, and or you can even get it from Netflix. Like, what if we don't have Netflix? I'm like,
what are you, a barbarian?
You can go to Blockbuster. They're like, where's a Blockbuster? Yeah, I was like, you can. I have no idea. I have no idea what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's just a weird thought. So, I mean, I think what we're seeing less, I don't think we're seeing them flicker out. I think we're seeing them hit the struggle of, all of a sudden, we're big time players, and we can't sneak under these content
providers
anymore. That's
what it is. It's the media providers, the content providers, like, finally saying, like, "Oh, this is viable. This is profitable."
I mean, Netflix and Hulu are what pushed Comcast, and I think even Bright House and Time Warner have apps now where you can watch TV on your phone and stuff like that. They're the ones who pushed that happening. I mean, that shit wouldn't exist if it weren't for Netflix and Hulu. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I really, really hope that Hulu and Netflix doesn't lose the battle.
Yeah. All right, well, we've got some reviews, so we're going to take like a 2-second break, which will be like 10 seconds for everybody else and more like 2 minutes for us.
So we're going to stretch out the break.
And then we'll be back with the reviews.
Yeah.
reviews. So Ryan and I, because of our elite status of nerd appropriateness, got to see Red State by Kevin Smith, his new movie.
We only had to pay for it.
No, what?
It
no, that, we got it because we're reviewers for nerdappropriate.com.
There you go.
We got preview.
We got the advanced pre-theater. We saw it before it was in the theater.
Pre-theater viewing of Red State.
Cool. So
new Kevin Smith movie.
I used to be a big Kevin Smith fan. As
what ruined it?
Oh,
Kevin
man.
Smith movies probably.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back ruined
Geely?
It. Yeah. No, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Really?
Because I was actually really excited about that movie, and then I saw it, and it was not
it was
good.
Just... Huh. It was like a bigger budget Mallrats. It was you didn't go into that knowing what it was going to be.
I just
so what's your favorite Kevin Smith movie?
Mallrats.
Oh, mine too.
Yeah,
by far.
Yeah.
I would have said mine was Dogma. Before Red State.
Really? Ooh, he let out the truth.
Yeah. All right.
So let me ask, what the hell is it about?
So Red State is a movie about kind of middle America. I don't know. Did they ever really say the state?
They don't ever.
They
really.
Just
no,
say
it's,
the
it's
city.
The Midwest.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Like some kind of rural kind of area of America. Where there is a sort of Westboro Baptist style church,
yes,
in the middle of it.
It's a direct middle finger to the Westboro Baptist
they actually,
church.
But the funny thing is, they mention the Westboro Baptist, and they're like, these guys are way crazier than Westboro Baptist.
Yeah.
But basically, it's a you know, kill the fags kind of church.
Whoa!
Well, I mean, that's a quote from the movie. That's not what I'm saying. But they're very like, you know, they go protest. Funerals and all that stuff.
Religious extremists, so to
yes.
speak.
Yes. So it's about this area where this church exists. And then it weirdly, the movie kind of introduces you through the lives of these three kids who are in high school. And they basically want to get into some hijinks and get laid, essentially.
It very much opens up like a classic thriller.
Yeah, it opens.
Teen movie, like a Cabin
like Super
Fever.
8. Honestly, it opened like Super 8 almost exactly.
I
didn't see Super
8. It opens like they're kind of well not I mean they're older and they want to get laid
yeah.
So it's like not like that in Super 8, but it's the same kind of same kind of feeling like these three kids who are all like good friends and they're just hanging out or whatever so they go on this online site, they find a way to it's like a Craigslist they said of sleeping with women and they go and to meet this lady and
yes.
then all shit breaks loose
yeah
like yeah. It just goes crazy.
Now, is it a monster movie?
No.
Is it
the church is militant.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like a violence-ridden guns and ammo kind of
yes.
movie.
Yeah. The church is militant and basically murdering people in the city
yes.
and getting away with it by
so
being a cultist
it's
church.
Three teens, older teens.
Uh-huh.
Like it really seniors. Does. It really starts off like a Final Destination or a Cabin Fever or something like
sure,
that.
Whatever.
And he does a really good job at eschewing, like he introduces some of
good,
those paradigms.
Good character.
And issues them.
And such.
I mean, great writing. The writing's phenomenal.
Writing's,
so Kevin,
yeah.
like you meet these characters and it makes sense. They all fit together. Like the setting makes sense. You
yeah.
see the initial setting is him driving with his mom and they pass this church, which is Cooper's Dell.
Cooper's Dell.
I forget what the name of the church was though. Cooper's Dell something.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
And they're protesting a funeral that's going on right there and they pass them and then he meets his two friends and then the whole story just kind of starts building from there.
Okay.
So it's three teenage kids. They go out to try to get laid. Essentially they get kidnapped and then the church like discover that this church is basically
they're
highly armed
yeah.
and executing gay people.
Wow.
And it goes from there and then,
but they're not, it's not like they don't even care. Like they're bringing kids in via this
yeah,
Craigslist
I mean,
posting and just executing them in front of people in front of the rest
in
of
their
the church,
church
as quote unquote gay people. Like that's why they're executing them regardless.
So
of
you kind of think all hell's breaking loose. You don't think these kids have any escape because it doesn't seem like there's any way for them to break out. And then the cops kind of weirdly get introduced and involved. And then quickly that escalates to it turns out that the ATF has been watching this church. And actually caught them in a gun deal gone bad, but didn't really catch them with anything, so they couldn't really actually
yeah, yeah.
prosecute. And the ATF's led by John Goodman.
It's who's awesome.
Who's awesome in the
awesome.
Movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I mean,
awesome.
I didn't even know he was in it. And I was like, the moment he showed up, I was like, oh, John Goodman. Just perfectly awesome the whole way through.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
I knew he was in it beforehand. I wish I didn't. Like, the scene where he's introduced, I would have loved
it,
to have
it was really
surprised.
Great to just see him, like, show up. Because he gets called in the middle of the night, and he just, like, wakes up in bed. And I was like, is that John Goodman? And I was like, oh, yeah, John Goodman. And, like, just perfectly written the whole way through.
He did a great job of bouncing through these genres, though. Like I said, like, where it starts out like a Hostel or something like that. Like a teen thriller type thing. And then goes to, like, kind of this standoff scenario. And
right. So it escalates quickly from the kids in the church church, and then the kids kind of become a side piece,
yeah,
and then it,
totally.
It introduces John Goodman, and then it's a standoff between the ATF and the church. They actually end up in a real standoff, like Mexican standoff, guns firing at each other.
Goodman's almost like the lead character, but he's not even introduced till
he becomes
good halfway
character
through
about
the
halfway
movie.
Through the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
and then
crazy.
And then that goes into another part where there it's like it, you kind of find out that he's recapping and you see what's going on from there. So probably or not probably, it is the most action heavy Kevin Smith movie.
Oh, without a doubt.
But my question
ever.
Is, can he direct action?
Yes.
Yes.
It's phenomenal.
Wow. I'm gonna follow this up with a conspiracy theory, but it's significantly better looking
he
than
he edited it too. I don't know if you saw
yeah,
that in
he
the
did.
Credits. He shot, directed, and edited the movie.
He's a talented guy, and I think, you know, it, would you guys go as far as saying this is his return, the return of Kevin Smith?
I don't know if it's his return.
No,
this is his like swan song, and this movie is phenomenal.
Yeah. Because he made this movie, and it pissed me off while I was watching it. I hated that I liked it so much, because allegedly he did Red State, and then he's doing one more movie that I think is going to be split into two parts about a hockey player, and then he's allegedly retiring from filmmaking.
That's what he says.
And going
really?
Into just doing like talk shows and podcasting, which while I was watching this movie, I was like, you motherfucker, you just figured out how to make a really good movie
yeah.
and you're gonna,
oh,
and you're gonna drop
I mean,
the mic and
the,
leave.
The action pieces are like tense and just filled with like just well shot, and like he flips in and out of kind of the shaky handy cam to like steady shots with very smoothly and never in a way that annoys you. Like,
and it,
you'll be following a guy through a hallway and it's like the camera's bouncing around, you feel like jumbled up, and then the next shot is like a total straight, you know, two shot on a guy, and it's sitting there like that, and then something just fucking crazy will happen in the middle of it, and like there were so many oh shit moments in this
yeah,
movie where
totally.
We were like, holy shit, like it just like something just
did,
happened out of the
did
blue
a, he did a very good job of leading, like taking you by the hand and thinking this was gonna happen
yeah.
and then just bucking
it,
that
and
shit.
I will
That's
say
I mean,
that
like bucking that.
Literally no character is safe in this movie.
No.
He just kill whoever he felt like killing in the story and felt real about it. It just was like the thing was just crazy
yeah.
from front to back.
Yeah.
You would love it.
I'm gonna check it out for sure.
Yeah, it's
maybe
it's,
even tonight.
He's,
yeah.
Here's my conspiracy theory, and I read this online somewhere, or I may have dreamt that I read it online somewhere.
Well, just say it.
I really don't remember where I heard it, but
so pause. Completely unfunded statement
completely,
by Ryan
yeah,
Clark.
Yeah. Preface this with this: I really could have made this up in a dream, but I thought that I read it online somewhere that he got a hand from Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez.
I wouldn't be shocked.
No.
Because
no.
the action
it looks
feels like Reservoir Dogs.
He has like two eras of movies where he's got his first movies before he cared about what the movie looked like. So up until Dogma, Mallrats and Clerks look horrible. And that's kind of what I've always thought is he's a horrible director. He's a very good writer. And up until now, he's been a pretty bad director. He's elicited fairly poor performances from a lot of his actors
right.
and just doesn't really care about the visual aesthetic. And then Dogma, you see, he actually started working with a new DP, a new director of photography. And so Dogma looks better. And
but
then
Dogma is also arguably the first movie with a budget that he
right. It, no, totally. 100%. And I don't discredit his previous movies for it, but they look low budget. But Dogma, Clerks 2, and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back all kind of look the same. They have a very similar
right.
look. This is the first thing he's done with a drastically.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like nothing. If you had said, if you didn't tell me this is Kevin Smith,
no,
and you were like, guess the director, I would have been like, I don't fucking, not Kevin Smith.
Yeah. I watched it with my roommate, and I had told him beforehand that it was a Kevin Smith movie. He had no idea about it, but he said that as well at the
yeah.
end. Like, if you didn't tell me this was a Kevin Smith movie,
I
wouldn't have been able to
good for him.
I think it's in wide release. I'm going to look it up right now.
It's at NZN here in town.
Is it already
on
in
the,
NZN right
yeah,
now?
Is it NZN?
No, 29th. They're just showing it.
Oh, really?
And then they're doing a live Q&A webcast. They're going to... He's
really?
Not coming here, but they're going to webcam him onto the screen and
oh,
do
cool.
a Q&A with the audience. I'm going to be out of town. I would 100% go see it.
I know it's available now on I know Xbox Live.
Yeah,
on Zoom and Amazon.
Yeah, it's a little bit more.
It. It's
a little bit more expensive because it's pre-theater. It's a pre-theatrical run. So I want to say I don't know. I paid Microsoft points, so I have no idea what it was. But it was somewhere
so
in the ballpark of $12 to $15.
It's supposed to get wide release next week.
Yeah. It's
I don't know about here, but in general, it's supposed to get wide release next week. It's a little heavy on the religion, so if you are very super Christian, you might not feel great about this, but it is more about militant religionism than it is...
It's more about crazy people. Yeah. It's not knocking on religion.
It doesn't knock Christianity. But it is heavy-handed on the idea of militant religion.
And people... So, yeah, it's heavy-handed on people taking advantage of religion. Right. I wouldn't say this knocks on religion any more than dogma does. It just knocks on crazy people.
So Ash, you watched Clone Wars season 4?
Yeah, I'll just talk about it for a minute. I watched it this morning right before I came here. It was a 1-hour premiere of season 4.
This should be the one Scott's really excited about, right?
It is. This brings the clone troopers and Anakin and Padme.
So this is before Padme. She lost her will to live?
Yes. Okay. Brings them to the planet of Mon Calamari, where Admiral Ackbar is now only a captain. He's the captain of the military there. Ooh. And the king of the Mon Calamaris has been killed. And the young, like, teenage prince is supposed to take over, but it starts like a civil war. And then the Jedi and the Republic? Are they Republic? Are they called the Republic now? I don't even remember. Yeah, the Republic, they swoop in and try and save this young prince. And it's actually interesting. Like, I didn't think I was gonna really like underwater combat, but they introduced a lot of really cool tech and stuff that I had never seen in the Star Wars universe, because there's a lot of like crazy underwater
combat.
How does
it look underwater, the 3D?
It looks gorgeous. Yeah. Like
it's a weird thing to do, water.
Yeah. Like it looks really, really
good. Did you see Shark Tale?
No, I have not seen Shark Tale.
It looked really good.
But anyway, I'm not gonna talk too much about it, but it was really enjoyable, a lot of fun.
And the season 3 DVD just came out, right?
It did. Season 3 just came out. Season 3 was an absolute blast, but season 4 looks like it's going to be fun. And the story of the Mon Calamaris isn't over yet. Unfortunately, the Gungans are called into action, and they fly the Gungans in across the galaxy to help the Mon Calamaris, because they can breathe underwater as well. So there's a little bit of Jar Jar action thrown in there.
Does Jar Jar actually show up? Or
Jar
is
Jar's there.
Oh, wow.
Bombad.
Most racist character. In the history of Star Wars.
Yeah, so...
I've never seen an episode of this show. Is this a must-watch?
Yeah, like, it's phenomenal.
You dig it. If you're a Star Wars fan, like, it takes a couple, 3 or 4 episodes of season 1. It starts out a little childish.
I think I still have season 1.
People are getting killed left and right, and it's really, really well done, especially if you enjoy Star Wars. It's definitely better than the first episodes 1, 2, and 3.
We've said the Clone Wars, even the 2D animated Clone Wars stuff was really fun. That was even more aimed towards children.
Awesome. The
if you like those, you'll love the 3D stuff.
It was the guy that did the
Wanted, right?
Samurai Jack.
If you liked those, you will
love this. 3D stuff is written, I think, even better than that, and it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Are they on Netflix?
No, you can't get them anywhere. It's Cartoon Network and HBO don't like to put their content anywhere.
Yeah, good stuff, but ironically, though. Adult Swim all over the internet.
Yeah, well, what are you gonna do? So, gaming. This is we're hitting the big week, the big, you know, release days of gaming. But we've been kind of slow on reviews. We've got Deus Ex we talked about for 4 weeks.
Yeah,
and now Warhammer 40K Space Marine.
So, what do you guys know about the Warhammer 40K universe?
I know very little from going to Sci-Fi City and knowing Derek. That's okay. About as much as I know. So I would assume you know less.
I know a little bit less, Ash.
Okay, so let's, the crash course is there. It's obviously like 20,000 years from now. So technology is incredibly advanced. Mankind is kind of spread all over the universe, and the idea of the Warhammer 40K universe has actually existed for like over 30 years. So they are actually the very first Space Marines to exist.
But they're not, it's not like future of our planet, it's the future of the Warhammer world, right?
Oh, I think it's like orcs and all that stuff. It's supposed to be Earth. Oh. It's supposed to be Earth, okay. But it's, you know, far, far, far in the future. So in this world, in this universe, orcs and elves and dwarves and stuff all exist, but they're obviously far, far, far in the future, and they're all different races. So the elves are known as the Eldar. The orcs are still the orcs, but the orcs have a K instead of a C. I know.
That's how they get you.
It's hardcore. And the right hand, there's an emperor now of all of mankind, and he is the emperor. And his fist is pretty much the Space Marines. And there's all different chapters of Space Marines that have taken the word of the Emperor and kind of twisted it to their own beliefs. So in the game, you play as a member of the Ultramarines, which are like the most pure of the Space Marines, and you play as a captain by the name of Titus, and you have a small team of Space Marines that are supposed to land on this planet and stop this orcish invasion, these orcs from taking a super weapon off the planet and using it for themselves. Because the orcs kind of, they're like space scavengers. They go from planet to planet and they basically kill everything and steal all the technology and then use it for themselves. Well, on this planet, there's a Titan, and Titans are basically like Empire State Building sized mechs that the Space that the Marines have built and that the Imperium has built, and the orcs are going to steal it. So the Space Marines have to show up and stop the orcs from doing that. So you are in a band of three Space Marines, and you're basically trying to stop all these orcs. And the story's, you know, pretty typical. Like, you know, you're just this macho kind of noble Space Marine type character.
I don't know what that would be referencing.
Yes. could be Master Chief.
Shakespeare.
Could be Marcus Phoenix. But you're a little less like, you're not like gruff. You're just you're like kind of more of a Captain America-ish type
like
character.
Like a knight.
Yeah, sort of like
rugged,
a knight.
He's rugged.
There you go. But where this game really shines is it plays like a mixture of a third-person shooter, like a really solid third-person shooter with really great mechanics, similar to like a Gears or a what are some other great third-person shooter games? I can't even think of any right now. But the mechanics are great. And then when enemies get in close, it has a really basic melee system, similar to like a Darksiders,
yeah,
or even like a even more simplified God of War. So there is a combo system. There are different melee combos you can
do. Oh, there's combos?
There's combos, yeah. And then there's finishing moves. So you can actually stun an enemy, or if you take an enemy down to low health, you can stun them.
That's
and
cool.
You can do executions, and the executions actually replenish your health. So you're constantly like chaining between your...
Just like in real life.
Yeah. You know, you're constantly chaining between your weapon fire and your melee moves. And the thing that separates this from any of these games that I've ever played is you're fighting like 20, 30, 40 guys at a time. You're basically fighting like waves of opponents.
Nice.
And most of the time, you're with two other guys, but they don't do much. But you are like a one-man army pretty much in this game.
Wow.
And it gives you a real sense of power. And the executions are brilliant. You basically just like pick guys up by their heads, cut them in half, throw them over your shoulder, keep moving through. It's a blast to see. It's a lot of fun to play.
So the melee is fluid enough. That reminds me of like less. That reminds me of Captain America, which I just played.
Yeah.
So it's fluid enough when you get into these group fights that your melee feels like it doesn't. It's not a hindrance. Like
no,
you're
not
ripping
at all. Yeah, it flows pretty well. It's really simple for you to like hip fire your weapon as enemies are coming up to
That's
you,
cool.
And you can pull the left trigger and then zoom in. You get scoped weapons, like there's like two different sniper weapons you can get that actually.
But this isn't
you...
a sit in the backfield shoot guys game.
No,
it doesn't seem
no,
like...
not in the beginning. In the end, it gets kind of hard because you fight against Chaos Marines. Spoiler alert. And then Chaos Marines are basically Marines that have been infected by this basically this dark energy called the Warp. So it's not just a world of technology. There's magic as well. So there's demons, there's gods and deities. It's really like a really rich and interesting universe.
So they didn't shy from the Warhammer kind of ethos, the story.
No, it's pretty.
Because I was kind of wondering about that. Because from playing the board game that we played, I learned very briefly that it seems like the Warhammer universe has a story that is just ridiculously long.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I couldn't even begin. I mean,
mythology.
I probably sound like such a novice here, but yeah, if Derek was here, he could tell you all the backstory and such. But there's a lot of different factions that appear in the game, and I won't get too spoilery, but a couple different chapters of Space Marines show up, and they all have different like doctrines, essentially. The Imperial Guard, which are basically every planet has their own section of Imperial Guard, and they're like the home defense force.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like if you or I just strapped on a suit of armor and like a laser gun, we'd be the Imperial Guard. So you go there to help the Imperial Guard, and they're just getting like torn up by orcs. You just like you walk up on Imperial Guard camps, and there's just like thousands of bodies all torn in half. And then you walk up to these other humans, but Space Marines are like genetically engineered to be like super soldiers, and they're like up to right past your waist. I mean, you're just like this giant hulking armored guy. So it's got a really rad feel to it. I was really more impressed than I thought I would be. Multiplayer is also a lot of fun. Not going to get too much into that, but
you did play it though, right?
I did. I think I'm like level 22, so I played quite a bit of it, and it's definitely enjoyable enough to keep you coming back. There's a lot
awesome.
Of unlockables and perks. Three different classes to play as. There's a jump pack marine, lets you fly. There's Devastator, which is like a heavy class. You can like entrench yourself and lock down and fire like massive weapons. And then there's like your regular tactical marine, which can do like rolls and has a little bit of melee and stuff like that. But really, really fun. I mean, it's cool. Well balanced, well done. So the guys at Relic did a great job, and I hope it sells well enough to warrant a sequel. But we'll see.
So I think we always do this. Is it a $60 game for you?
For me, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the campaign was about 7 hours on normal, probably about 8 or 9 on a harder difficulty setting. And then the multiplayer has up to 41 levels, and I'm like 23 now.
Cool.
And they're having free DLC in October with like a horde mode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, free.
Just like
free,
an upgrade on the game?
Free for everybody. Just that's as cool. long as you have your own copy, they're going to give it to you for free. So
that's cool.
No co-op yet, but free in October. So
awesome.
Definitely thumbs up. Check out Space Marine.
Space Marine. Sweet.
Space Marine.
So I've been doing this every week just because we are in the midst of the DC reboot. But this week's a little different because I've got two things that are not DC reboots that I was going to talk about really quick for comics. But the comic rundown this week, we had 13 more issues come out for the DC 52. I only picked up 4. I had a kind of interesting conversation with a friend of mine who reads comics about the fact that I was like, my opinion so far has been like, man, the DC reboot's going really well. Like, I like everything. I'm really enjoying what I'm reading. It's really fun. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, everything. And he was like, everything? And I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I like everything? And he goes, man. And he just started listing titles that he's read that he was like, all of these were horrible. And they were all ones that I happened to not have picked up.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, you're avoiding the bad stuff. And I'm like, I'm not avoiding it. I'm like, those literally hit like Hawk and Dove and the Red Lanterns and like things that I just like, I had like no interest in reading. It wasn't that I was like, that's going to be bad, I'm not going to pick it up. It just was like, I have no draw for that title. Why would I go pick it up? So it was a weird conversation, but I maintain that everything that I've read, if you've heard me mention it on the site, has been an awesome read. I've enjoyed it. This week I picked up Batwoman. There we go. I picked up...
Hold on, just out of curiosity, isn't Batwoman the lesbian?
Yes.
Okay.
Batwoman's a lesbian.
She's a woman that's also a bat.
Carol Kane, I think is her name.
Carol King?
Kane?
She was in...
Carol King's a singer, isn't she?
No, she was in Scrooge, right? Yeah. She was the
is that who that was?
She's Ghost of Christmas Present.
There you go.
I think it's Carol. Like it's something Kane. Something Kane.
There's something.
Green Lantern, which is the Geoff Johns title. I'll put that over there. Batman and Robin, which is Peter J. Tomasi, who actually was doing Batman and Robin before the 52 started. So he did not change out, and I'll talk about that in a second. And then the one that I think Ash, when I mentioned it to him, was interested in, which is Suicide Squad.
Oh, nice. These are the bad guys, right?
These are the bad guys. Out of this week, if you had to only pick one book out of these four that I just mentioned, weirdly enough, and I don't think anybody would have expected me to say this, it's Suicide Squad.
Yeah. The art is fucking great.
It is super fun. It is like, it's a story basically about a bunch of villains who have been captured and put in jail and are now being used to go out and commit crimes. Like they've been
like used by the
together.
Government.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
And it's just an awesome team of villains. Really fun, just like written really well and light and kind of like, it's just a fun story. Just drawn really well. The art's great. Just a fun story. I don't know. I definitely, if you wanted to just pick up something that you can read that isn't going to tax your brain too much, I definitely say Suicide Squad's awesome. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, like, it seems like that's kind of cropping up a little bit recently, like something like that. And then what was the book I got you for your birthday?
You got Incognito. Incognito by Ebru Baker.
But it was about the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then look, like a book like Nemesis
this
as well.
This series existed, I think, in the 80s, somebody told me. I never read it. And then more recently, there was a series called The Secret Six, which was the same idea. It was a bunch of villains going around grouped together. Story about the villains. But it's kind of cool. Like it was just a good read. This is how they formed, and it's kind of about what they're doing. So you're just reading all introductory, which is awesome. Batwoman also great, very introductory, written really well. The art is gorgeous. So I wouldn't shy away from Batwoman.
Is the Batwoman book the non-Killing Joke canon Batwoman? Like
that's Batgirl. Batgirl is the
okay,
one,
okay, okay.
But it is still Killing Joke canon. We talked about it last week a little. It's not up yet. But
from what I've been reading, that they didn't actually do away with a lot of the old plot lines.
So here's what we're gonna get into with this. So Batman and Robin came out, which is a title that I had been reading since Grant Morrison started writing it a little while ago, which was when Batman died. Dick Grayson took over as Batman, and then Damian, Batman's son, was Robin. Peter J. Tomasi took over the line recently and made it really dark, and it was a fun read. It was good. He took over the book for 52, And yet it is exactly the same background. If you did not read Batman and Robin previous to the 52, you would have no idea what is going on right now inside of Batman and Robin. It is as if he just ignored the 52. I mean, somewhat like Batman's back as Batman.
Yeah.
Which he should be. And Damian's still Robin. And it's a new story. Like it's a new, they're picking up in a new place, but they talk about, they reference a ton of shit from literally right before the 52.
Mm.
So I'm like, it's weird to me. And then also the other thing about Batman and Robin that I didn't love is that Batman and Robin previous to this was Dick Grayson dealing with Damian. And Damian, like for those that don't know, is Batman's son that he had with Talia al Ghul or whatever. And he's a badass little 10-year-old kid who can just beat the shit out of anything. Like he's just, he's so like by far the strongest Robin that's ever existed. And he's just a badass, but he's also a dick. And he like is an asshole to Dick Grayson the entire time that he's Batman. But it was cool seeing that kind of interplay. It was really written well generally. It was really cool seeing those two interact because Dick was trying to be like, he's like good. He's kind of, he's not like as mean as Bruce Wayne kind of.
Yeah.
So he'd always be like, oh, come on, man. Like it was just fun to read.
So ironically enough, he was not being a dick.
Right. And then weirdly, now that it's Bruce Wayne again, like Damian will be like, fuck you, I'm going to go do my own thing. And Bruce is like, no, you're not. And then just moves on. And it's like, well, he can do that because he's Bruce Wayne and he's his dad. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not recommending Batman and Robin, but if you weren't already invested in it, I don't know that you're going to pick it up and really love it. I'd get Dark Knight before I would get this.
I read a review that said, and this could be touching on what you're about to talk about, that Green Lantern was kind of the same way.
Green Lantern still takes the same way. Jeff Johns didn't really do anything. The only thing that I know, there's some weird timeline stuff going on, so I don't understand how they've written. I think this is supposed to be 6 months ago and not current timeline. So he's got Sinestro in as Green Lantern and not Hal Jordan. It's a weird timing.
As a non-comic fanatic, like that's a little disappointing to me because I was really excited about everything getting reset and everything starting from the get-go.
But there are books that did that. And the ones that did that did it really well, generally. Yeah. And they're awesome and they're fun. And this week was just a little short for me. I don't know. But Suicide Squad, awesome. Definitely recommend it. If you're going out to pick up a 52 book each week, which I think you should because they're fun, go pick up Suicide Squad. Second to that would probably be Batwoman. But what also came out this week that is cool is the Ultimate Spider-Man series finally launched this week.
Cool.
Which is the Black Hispanic Spider-Man. I will
get ready for this to
be honest. I have not actually read it yet. It sat in its wrapping. So I'm going to do a write up this week about it and read it.
Can we do a live read?
No. But you know,
we can all play different characters.
We
should really do that. I'm just saying.
I will say that the Ultimate series for Marvel is their kind of reboot somewhat. They're doing this Spider-Man. They did Hawkeye and they did the Ultimates line. All of those have been awesome so far. It's Bendis at the helm of this one, so I really don't think it's going to be bad. So you're probably safe going and picking it up. But
have you flipped through it at all?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you see how he becomes Spider-Man?
Yes.
Eh?
Yeah, I'm going to read the whole book and then I'll talk about it. What did come out, though, a book that got sold out in trade. There was in hardcover and it got sold out, and they've reprinted it at Marvel. And I picked it up, and it is so much fucking fun. It's awesome. You have to go read this. If you hadn't read it in the 80s when it came out, late 80s, is Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh, yeah.
Got re-released. It's this gigantic cosmic story with Marvel that they basically drew all of their main characters at the time. I mean, that is ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the Avengers and parts of the X-Men and, you know, Hulk and Adam Warlock and all these other Doctor Strange, all these characters. It is straight out of the late 80s, early 90s. Like, the writing and the art are all very much that era of comics.
Is it a reprint of the original?
Yeah, it's just a reprint. Okay. But the trade paperback's out. It's only $25, I think, for the trade. It actually leads into a whole series that Marvel did, which is the Infinity Crisis. Or not Infinity Crisis. Yeah, Infinity Crisis and Infinity War. And then into a new series that's called Annihilation that I've heard nothing but really good things about. So I wanted to pick this up. But I will say the reason I have not read Ultimate Spider-Man is I have been reading that endlessly and just enjoying the hell out of it. So if you want to remember why you loved comics as a kid and you wanted to go pick something up fun, Infinity Gauntlet re-released in trade paperback for only for like $25, totally worth it. Absolute blast to read and leads into a phenomenal story that Marvel's kind of still been going this whole time. There's a huge cosmic story that doesn't get focused on too often because of things like Spider-Man and Avengers.
Can we discuss the three pages of Spider-Man I read while you were talking earlier?
No. We can discuss it online. All right. We got to move through. So,
all right.
But
I'm just saying. Mm.
But yeah. So check it out. Those are the comics. Suicide Squad is my pick for the 52. And then if you're going to pick up a trade, go get Infinity Gauntlet. Got re-released today by Marvel for this week.
Sweet.
It's good stuff. So the last thing that we're going to talk somewhat briefly about here is Fall TV started. I'm going to be doing preview articles all week for what's coming up for Fall TV Monday through Friday. But we had CW and FX put their new shows out this past week, which will be a week and a half ago when you hear this. But what came out was a show that Ryan and I enjoy, which is Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which was awesome. And then a show that we talked about in our TV Death Watch, which is The Ringer.
Watching The Ringer made me realize that CW stands for crap for women.
Well, did you write that down and hold that?
No. That's actually, that was a fresh one. That one just popped up.
Nice.
All right.
So you guys both watched it. I did not.
Yes.
For many reasons. One, I wasn't a big Buffy fan. And two, I'm not a huge Sarah Michelle Gellar fan. So
and you
I just
rule
kind
your
of
house
like,
with an iron fist. A woman didn't get you to watch that?
No.
Melissa was not?
No. She doesn't really watch TV.
Well, here's my my take on it. I did grow up watching Buffy, and I am a man.
And that is depending on this review, that is debatable.
Well, here's the deal.
Let him finish, man.
I really loved that series, and I love Joss Whedon, and I love pretty much everything the guy has done. And I have a certain loyalty to Sarah Michelle Gellar. And
this is a co-writer for Buffy, right? Is that who created the show?
You know, I don't know, to be honest. I don't know who wrote
it. I'll look it up while you're talking.
I don't know who wrote The Ringer. But it has a lot of flaws. And there's a lot of logic problems in the show. There's a lot of the actors I don't necessarily love. But it had a weird sort of Twin Peaksy, dark, weird vibe to it that I kind of ended up actually liking.
No, I know.
Let him finish.
So, obviously, the story follows two identical twins. Sarah Michelle Gellar plays both twins. One twin, I guess something tragic happened. We don't really know what, but they stopped talking for about 6 years. And, like,
I think that was just when she fell into drugs and stripping.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. The quote unquote bad twin falls into drugs and that hedonistic lifestyle. And
okay.
Falls,
so,
falls
yeah, the bad twin disappears and they don't really have much contact. She witnesses a crime by like some murderous dude and she's about to stand trial and decides that if she stands trial, she'll probably get murdered by the murderous guy. And so she decides to run away and she runs to her twin sister's house.
So that's the first, if I was being chased by villains and police, I would run to my sibling's house.
Who looks exactly the same as you. So like, again, there's definitely some logic issues, but when she gets there, and I guess this is going to be kind of spoilerful. When she gets there, her twin sister is about as opposite as can be. She's very like rich and hoity toity. And then the bad twin is kind of like, you know, happy go lucky and dark and what have you. And something happens. And the bad twin ends up taking the place of the good twin because the good twin mysteriously vanishes. And that's sort of like what the series is about. Now, there's a lot more to it, sort of soap opera-y crap. I don't know. There's something about it, and feel free to tear into it. That's why you're here. There's something about it that kind of made me want to know what happened next.
If I had a dollar for every time I've heard that,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh.
Edit that out. That's going on the cutting room.
No, okay, so Ryan, what did you think? What were your problems with it?
I just thought it was really bad.
Okay.
I have no objection with Sarah Michelle Gellar. She's a perfectly capable actress. Just the plot holes, the production value, the acting, the writing, I thought was all subpar. And I never got into Buffy, I have nothing against it, but yeah. Not being like a Buffy fanatic, I was forced to watch it by a female.
Okay.
Who is a Buffy fanatic and who actually liked the show.
Okay.
And Kelly's going to give it, like, she's like, I'm going to give it another couple episodes. I really liked it. Me as like, you know, an outside observer thought it was horrible.
Now, do you think it suffered from what I like to call pilot syndrome, where the pilot's always the worst episode in the series?
It honestly, I will give it that it could be, because I think you just tried to describe the show and it took you a good 30 seconds to describe the plot.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily always a good sign.
Yeah.
You should be able to describe like the plot of a movie or the setup for a show in a couple of sentences.
Yeah.
And that they just they tried to take too many twists and turns in the show that
there were definitely a lot.
They were not exciting nor surprising.
Yeah, secret affairs and like,
the cast was terrible. Sarah Michelle Gellar was very good. The rest of the cast I thought was god awful.
Do you feel like though this you say suffer from pilot? I would say suffers from CW syndrome.
It's not like
they're like the top quality content provider.
I am not going to give it another episode.
It's like from the channel that brought you Hater or whatever else is that. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. We kept seeing advertisements for Hater while we were watching the show. Yeah. Unless I'm forced to, which I probably will be, I would not give the show another episode. But am I put into a position where I need to? I will give it the potential to maybe get better now that they've set up this ridiculous scenario that is completely implausible and horrible. Now that they've set that up, perhaps they could dive into some like good plot developments and adventures and whatnot throughout the rest of
it. Horrible and implausible because they're trying to do it in like a real world setting.
Well, no, like I mean, the bad girl, Sarah Michelle Gellar, goes and takes place of the rich girl.
Right.
All right, if you traded places with somebody, with anybody, even if you looked identical to them, if you traded places with them, somebody would be like, oh, you're not Matt. You know, like if I traded places, nobody calls her out. Like the worst that happened.
Even her husband
and her lover.
Yeah.
And her best friend. Nobody calls her out. And the way they write it off, the way they explain it is in one scene, she looks over to her day planner and she has a day planner. And okay, if you and I traded places and we know each other. If you and I traded places and all you had was my day planner, I don't think you could actually assume my life. Like,
so
no,
it's soap opera-y.
It's 100% soap opera.
It's very soap opera-y. But the reason why I said that there's a little weird kind of Twin Peaks-y vibe is there's like something really dark and mysterious kind of under the surface that we haven't seen yet.
Well, I guess that's what I was saying about like the in a real world, because like, I mean, think about it, like some of the shows Buffy, Alias, all those kind of shows, they exist outside of the real enough that you don't care about like the plot holes and stuff.
This is supposed to take place in the real world.
That's
there's
what I mean,
no suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
It's just, it's bad.
So, all right. Well, so you're doing an episode two.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to be forced into an episode two.
I will be.
I'm probably
going to have to watch the rest of the season.
Yeah. So.
So I look forward to crapping on the rest of this series if you guys have me back.
But
on.
The good news is this is escorting the fall TV season in, and I am super excited about this year. So there's a lot of good quality new stuff this year. We're not in the middle of season runs. We're in a lot of brand new TV. So
yes.
We will see what happens. All right, we're going to come right back with the Twitter question of the week, and we'll talk about that. We're on the internet.
We are, yeah. So we do this about once a week. We'll ask a Twitter question, and if you reply to it at NerdAppropriate on Twitter, you can be part of our conversation, which we've been doing for the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, and it's actually been a lot of fun. So please always check your Twitter feed, follow us at NerdAppropriate, and look for our weekly question, and then you too can join in the fun.
Are you guys on Google Plus yet?
We can't be. You're not allowed to be.
Yes.
So this week's question was, what movie or video game universe would you like to live in and why?
All right. So our first is from @RockBandSF. And he says, to be fair, Rock Band universe would be awesome. An entire reality based on smoke machines, lasers, and awesome music. That's pretty cool. Rock Band SF is a rock band community based out of obviously San Francisco. And I'm not really surprised at their answer, but it is actually pretty an interesting one.
But my question is, if you just exist in the universe, when those shows aren't going on, aren't you just sitting at home doing nothing?
Yes, that's true. That is very true. Yeah.
Or is it just a universe of endless rock shows that you're sitting outside
of? Rock shows. I think that's where they're going. That's where they're going with
Maybe
this.
It is, yeah.
A universe of endless rock shows? I would get headaches. I'm old now. I can't handle that shit anymore. Matt, why don't you read the next one?
Just because you don't want to read the name.
No.
@LTaskWolf, I think.
Yeah.
Says Dragon Age's Thetis. Dragons, knights, kings, bards, assassins, sex, booze, and money, along with Darkspawn. Who could deny?
See, yeah, that okay. The world of Dragon Age is pretty awesome, but then again, a lot of these worlds that people chose are kind of worlds that are like
you can die in,
yeah, really easily. Like these are worlds
that's what
like
I was thinking the whole
being
time.
Invaded and like you know people get killed left and right, and there's like this the blight sweeping across yeah. the land and like. Fucking rape and murder. Because
when you
stuff.
Asked the question, I kept thinking of it as like, I'm just a dude in the yeah. world. Not necessarily, I'm not Master Chief in Halo. I'm just like walking around while exactly. aliens are blowing up planets.
Yeah, for real. So, man, I can see that this could be kind of fun. But again, if you're just a peasant living in the world of Dragon Age
right.
or a normal person, that could be kind of grim.
But maybe if their reality is that they're one of the heroes.
Yeah, yeah. You know. So still, that is a very good answer. All right. The next is from SS Santarelli. That's kind of a cool name. SS Santarelli says, game would be Final Fantasy VI because of the mixture of medieval times and modern age, except for the monsters. And that's a great example. Final Fantasy does have a cool kind of steampunky vibe with the airships
yeah.
and sort of tech and magic mixing together.
Less death, I think, too.
Yeah, less death. And yeah, the monsters would definitely be a down note. But the world of Final Fantasy is a pretty good answer. I kind of actually forgot about it when we posed the question.
So True American 21, at True American 21, says, City of Heroes, because let's face it, everyone there has a power, and that would be a lot of fun. See, so he's in the world with... superpowers.
Yeah.
I don't
That's
know why
actually,
I'm doing this.
He's doing like a running, like a horrible 2D running motion because I guess that's what you do in City Heroes. Yeah, man, City Heroes would be fun because everyone there pretty much does have a power. So it's a little small city, though. It'd be a little, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a good answer as well, City of Heroes.
So I'm going to get into mine now because I actually am in agreement with our friend DTM.
Okay.
So I am DTM. Wrote, I'd like to live in the Muppets universe. I realize this is not really what you're looking for, but living in a universe where I randomly bump into Muppets sounds pretty fun, and I think that would be amazing.
To yeah, be able
to
be.
Like I'd love to be a stagehand in the Muppets show, just like lifting curtains and putting them back down for them all the time.
Yeah,
and just hanging out around Muppets.
That's yeah. That's outside of the boundaries of this question.
No, it's not. Movie.
Yeah,
oh, I thought it was just games.
No, it's movies and games.
Movies and games.
I don't listen to you guys.
I know. Seriously.
I listen less.
And
I'm
also,
on the show.
Like, I was talking to Chrissy about IMDTM's answer last night, and she agreed that it was a great answer. But the Muppets universe is also like a super idealized, happy version
yeah.
of our own world. Like,
yeah.
you walk by someone in the street and they're like, hey, what's up? How you doing?
Exactly.
Like,
it'd be awesome.
Reality is not
It would
that
just be
cool.
fun all the time. And yeah. like random things would just be happening around you and no one really gets hurt. It's just like something random happens and you're like,
yeah.
that's weird. Why did that sewer lid fall off and then penguins crawled out of it and started singing a song? That would be amazing to me just to live inside of that world.
That's yeah. what it's like doing acid.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, wow. I've never done
so that's all I got to do.
Yeah, that's all we just got to
do. I didn't this has thrown my whole world into turmoil. I didn't realize this included movies this question.
Oh, well, you're going to come up
movie
soon.
Or video game.
You better be ready. Go ahead.
At Midtown 583 says movie universe The Frighteners, since you could hang out as a ghost after death, and game universe Red Dead Redemption for gunfights.
I don't think I've seen Frighteners.
Frighteners is great.
But Red Dead Redemption, again, not the greatest world to live
yeah,
in.
Yeah, but that's pretty badass. They set up a pretty badass world. Like, if you like, you know, if you're a rugged man.
Yeah, I'm not rugged. I would die, is what
probably.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
I would
too.
Die almost immediately
and
in
then
one of those worlds.
Someone would put me in a nun costume and lay me on the train tracks. It would be a terrible, terrible fate. How many of you guys, just on a tangent, how many of you guys did like just horrible, like murderous train track killings and shit
I
like that?
I actually did not.
I didn't either.
God, yeah. Man, I would drag like hobos through the streets and
wow.
Yeah, I think I was having a lot of rage issues when I was playing that game, and I was like laughing maniacally, like dragging nuns across the train tracks.
I get enough of that in my day to day. I don't want to do that in video games.
No, I think that's the thing with me with these worlds where you can die though, is that I'm such a pussy. I probably would not live very long in a Red Dead world. I feel like I would just die immediately.
It sounds like a country song.
I would not live very long in a Red Dead world.
I wouldn't live very long in a Red Dead world.
Whoa. You have a career, man. You should definitely do that.
So another one, at Kittler C says, I'm cheating by choosing two and one being a TV show, but it's not, it's, or Adventure Time is a TV show. He said Adventure Time, which I just saw for the first time, and it's some new cartoon that all the folks are getting into.
Yeah.
And the Muppets, again, because the Muppet world would be awesome.
Yeah, the Muppet world, yeah.
It'd be pretty awesome.
I think that's swaying my vote. I might have to go Muppets.
Ash, what's yours?
I would have to say, okay, if I could like actually be a mutant, I would live in the X-Men world from the movies.
There we go. His racism.
Because, let's face it, like, you don't have to do fucking anything.
The Brett
anything.
Ratner X-Men?
Well, no.
You mean the best X-Men?
We'll go for the Brian Singer X-Men. Okay. If I have to choose a movie.
But what if
X-Men?
what if you were a mutant with a completely useless power? Like everybody in the X-Men, like everybody coincidentally in the X-Men universe has a power that like helps aids in
like
fighting
Meg
crime.
From Family Guy when her nails just grow really long.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that, but yeah, like what if you could turn your left leg into a table?
Well, okay, so there are mutants with terrible
only
powers
your left
like
leg.
That. Yeah, but. You still get to live at the mansion, and the danger room is pretty much a holodeck, so I would just go into the danger room and fuck everything.
I fit.
Wait.
Don't even just stop. So, at Haley Schmaley wrote, I would live in the Harry Potter universe, which is also not a bad one, but it depends on what era of the universe, so she could go
that's
to Hogwarts
true, yeah, yeah.
someday and teach care of magical creatures.
Nice.
I'm moving on from that. By the way, I'm not going back to what Ash
said. I don't even have anything.
At Zyrum,
you should let Haley Schmaley know that she can go to Universal Studios and experience.
But she can't. She can't teach a class, and she can't be.
I wouldn't
want to
go. Those kids die all the time. They keep dying playing
Only
Quidditch.
Only like a few of them. Just a few of them. But that's what I'm saying. Like if you were pre Voldemort. What if you were in the nice era after Voldemort and before Harry Potter?
Like
a nice little, you know, like you got 10 years of just kind of quietness.
Did Harry Potter ruin everything? I don't know.
Well, when he gets old enough.
Hogwarts, so to speak. Ooh. Wow. Not a fan, huh?
No.
He can't not be a fan because he hasn't read or watched any of them.
No,
so
I saw the first
literally
movie.
Impossible to not
I saw
be
the
a
first,
fan.
I saw the first movie. Yeah, therefore, well, I can judge the entire
yeah,
series.
You sure can, buddy.
All right. At Zyrum Zero says, the Mass Effect universe because of Asari prostitutes.
Again, people are dying left and right in this universe.
Yeah.
Collectors are harvesting bodies and turning them into, you know,
glue
for big structures.
Yes. And then
try not to ruin them.
The Reapers are on the horizon ready to harvest mankind. Mass Effect universe would be fun because, you know, being able to manipulate the mass.
That's not what he said. He said it would be fun for a different
reason.
For
the Asari prostitutes. Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're...
I haven't played the game. I'm in.
Asari prostitutes, they're kind of like Twi'leks without the Leekus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like adding that modifier, Asari, makes prostitutes better than regular prostitutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah?
Clearly.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think...
He wouldn't have specified otherwise.
Prostitutes in general probably aren't a little dirty. And not good dirty, like gross dirty.
Yeah, they're that
true.
Too.
All right. We got another one from at Kittler C.
Actually
it's not. But he
I got a lot of editing to do in this fucking one.
He did say he did say something about the Star Wars universe. He says people would probably choose bounty hunters or Jedi, not moisture
but
farmers.
Yet I don't think we got a single Star Wars answer.
No, we actually didn't. The Star Wars universe is kind of a rough one to live in, though. So
yeah.
It was a long time ago.
All right.
In a galaxy far, far away.
So the legend goes.
Matt, do you want to read one?
Do you want to read the question?
So Let's Get Foxy. How many have we got left? We got four. Okay. Let's Get Foxy says she can't choose.
I'm glad that...
Going with three, Mass Effect again, Dragon Age again, and then Deus Ex.
Interesting.
I guess she wants...
Yeah.
To get modified.
Yeah, probably. Well, I mean, hey,
not in a weird
again,
way.
Those are dark, dark worlds, so she's probably a lot tougher.
But
I
feel like in Deus Ex, like if you didn't live in Detroit, it's not necessarily that bad. Am I wrong?
Yeah that's true.
Like, you could place any era of Detroit, you'd be like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
What has gone wrong with the world?
There's very little difference between real Detroit and Deus Ex Detroit. Except for that one guy that breakdances endlessly. The poor son of a bitch. She's in the damn subway tunnel, endlessly breakdancing to the same beat.
All right, Ryan. Let's hear it.
Oh, if I had to choose, probably The Sims.
Just so you don't have to talk to people.
I like watching myself go to the bathroom.
Oh, God.
All right. That's become your answer.
Moving along.
Is that really?
At Devolve Music says, oddly, Silent Hill, there's something about the madness in the games that would make it somewhat weirdly brilliant to be in.
Oh, man. I would never want to be in fucking Silent Hill.
It's like fucking...
That is... The,
little demon babies chasing after
and
you.
Like the nurses with the inside-out heads.
You need to call the police Pyramid on several of your followers.
Yeah, Devolve Music, man. That is like my ultimate nightmare. Oh. The world of Silent Hill is like when you have a terrible, terrible fever and you're just trying to like walk down the hallway and make sense of what's going on.
And the only prescription...
Is...
I don't know. I'm asking.
Oh, man. All right.
I love this. I love this. Name.
So this next answer, I'm just going to preface this with, I'm sorry, Scott. I don't think I can hold these two back from making any kind of commentary or jokes. And if they don't say anything, then I'm proud of them both. But there may be things that aren't on the podcast. Thank you, Ash, for Scott's here. He's here in spirit. At Ocular Nervosa says, I'd want to live in Hobbiton. I wouldn't want to go anywhere else in Middle Earth, though.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's true. Hobbiton is a joyous place.
I'm just waiting. This is murdering the two of you, and I know it. It's just killing you inside.
But he does. Ocular Nervosa has a great point. The rest of Middle Earth is pretty much a shithole.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, though, you could do that with anything. Like, if you were to say Mass Effect and then say, like, I only want to live on, you know, what's one of the good
Omega?
Ones? Yeah, and not anywhere else. Yeah. You know, like
Omega's kind of a shithole, but that was the first place.
It's like if like you wanted to be in The Sims, but only on 7th Street.
Have you really played The Sims?
Have you played it? It's very good.
Oh, man. Anyway, so yeah. Do we have any
like,
more?
Like you're going to be in the X-Men universe and yeah. only live in the mansion.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you're not going to go to San Fran where they're all dying left and right.
Yeah, I would be. I'd be fine. Like
live in the mansion and things in the
no, your left leg can turn into a table and you're banging things in the holodeck.
Yeah, yeah.
He can just put his one leg down and he can just move wherever he wants.
If he loses balance,
it's the perfect scenario.
I like Hobbiton. They don't have to wear shoes there.
Wait, we got one 11th hour edition. At Greg Mickelson says, I would live in Dragon Age universe because I've always loved fantasy worlds. It would be cool if it were real. There is something kind of cool about those fantasy worlds, like high fantasy, because, you know, magic, wizardry, dragons, sword, sorcery. That's kind of cool. Then you think about when you swing a sword, it's heavy and you get tired and then you get killed by dragons.
I hate when that happens.
So that would be really
bad. I retract my answer? Can I give you a real answer? Because The Sims was clearly a joke.
Okay.
Debbie Does Dallas. You said movies. Because those people are banging constantly.
You know what? I am starting to agree with Ash.
I shouldn't be on the podcast.
Yeah.
No, it's a really good idea. Desperate times, man. We had literally
no one else. I was like, can Derek do it? Can anyone
Anybody
be on this podcast
Ryan.
Right now?
No.
We love you, man.
I'm starting to agree with you.
I know. You are annoying. So that's it this week. That's all the podcast answers. All
right. Thank
all
you guys
podcast
so much.
Answers. What the fuck? My brain. What is happening?
And you're picking on me, man.
All the Twitter answers.
Those are all the Twitter
all
answers.
The Twitter answers.
At Twitter.
So you can check Ryan out on Twitter at Physics for Poets.
It's the number 4 with a Z on Poets.
I should put a weird like best of if I've got time at the end of just all the edits. There are a ton of everybody who's not going to hear this sentence right now. There are a ton of edits in this fucking episode.
Me on the cutting room floor.
But thanks for listening again. Right?
Yes.
Ash looks confused.
Sorry.
I don't know what's going on right now.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to episode 37. We got a big week of releases coming up with Gears of War 3.
Oh, I
know you guys are super
releases.
Excited, and we will be back
Gears of War
next week.
Is there anything else? Gears of War 3?
Gears of War 3 is the big one this week.
And then Fall TV.
Yeah, it's great. A lot
Lots
of crazy
of stuff.
Stuff.
Go see Red State. It's
Red
phenomenal.
State, very good. Don't watch The Ringer.
Pick up Suicide Squad.
Definitely check out Space Marine.
And that's it. This is the worst ending we've ever had for a pod. What's going
on? I just want
right
to reiterate,
now?
Don't watch The Ringer. Don't do it.
I don't know.
Anything? Can we save this?
This episode is brought to you by the letter. I got nothing.
Scott brings a certain balance to this all.
That's because he has a low center of gravity.
It's just,
Jesus.
Come on, one. I got one.